This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Webster, Dudley, Oxford, Douglas, Northbridge, Uxbridge, Whitensville, Upton, Milford, Mendon, and Blackstone. This program is sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Oxford and Uxbridge. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Webster Times, the Blackstone Valley Tribune, and the New Uxbridge Times. Today, we will be reading from the July 24th editions. This is Jennifer Antkowiak, along with David Jaffe. Blackstone Valley Music launches first summer musical. Blackstone Valley Music, BMV, is proud to announce its historic first-ever summer musical theater production, Jonathan Larson's groundbreaking rock musical, Rent, School Edition. This highly anticipated debut will bring a passionate ensemble of the region's finest young performers from BVM's downtown studio to the main stage at Uxbridge High School for a limited 3-show run from August 7th through August 9th. Based on Giacomo Puccini's opera La Bohème, Rent, School Edition, follows an unforgettable year in the lives of a group of young artists, musicians, and renegades struggling to survive, create, and find love in New York's Lower East Side. This adapted version captures the raw energy, profound heart, and iconic rock score of the original Broadway sensation while remaining perfectly tailored for high school-aged actors. For Blackstone Valley Music, a staple of the local art scene, known for premium music education, this production marks a thrilling expansion into full-scale musical theater. Watching the program grow from its earliest conceptual stages in the winter months to a fully realized stage production has been a monumental milestone for the school's leadership. Seeing this production come together from our early planning sessions back in January to where we are now has been nothing short of inspiring, said Mark Mandeville, executive director of Blackstone Valley Music. Our mission at BVM has always been about fostering a supportive grassroots community through music, education, and shared expression. Launching a dedicated theater program introduces a completely new level of creative collaboration to our studio. And I couldn't be prouder of the sheer dedication of our students and staff have poured into making this historic debut a reality. Musical theater program director Tobias Duke echoed that pride, highlighting the intensive work the cast has put in since rehearsals officially kicked off at the downtown Uxbridge studio. We chose Rent because it demands absolutely everything an actor has to give, vocal power, raw vulnerability, and an absolute commitment to the ensemble, said Duke. Watching these kids step up to that challenge has been incredible. They aren't just learning lines and choreography. They're building a tight-knit community from the ground up, which is exactly what the show is about. This debut is a massive milestone for BVM, but honestly, the real magic is just seeing the sheer grit and heart these performers bring to the stage every single day. Performance schedule and location? All performances will take place in the auditorium at Uxbridge High School, located at 300 Quaker Highway, Uxbridge, Mass. 01569. Friday, August 7th at 7 p.m., Saturday, August 8th at 7 p.m., and Sunday, August 9th at 2 p.m., a matinee. Tickets are on sale now and can be purchased securely online through BVM's official Zephy ticketing platform. The direct ticketing link is www.zephy.com/en-us/ticketing/BVMPAC-presents-rent-the-musical. Seating is limited, and community members are strongly encouraged to reserve their tickets in advance to witness this milestone moment in Blackstone Valley Youth Theater. About Blackstone Valley Music? Located in the heart of downtown Uxbridge, Massachusetts, Blackstone Valley Music is a community-driven music school dedicated to fostering a lifelong love of the arts, offering specialized private lessons, collaborative ensembles, and now main stage musical theater productions. BVM provides a supportive, vibrant environment where student musicians and performers of all ages can discover their voices and shine. For more information, please visit www.blackstonevalleymusic.com. BVTI graduates celebrated, marking inaugural milestone. The Blackstone Valley Vocational Regional School District celebrated the graduation of 62 students from its adult education programs. Recognizing the inaugural graduating class of the Blackstone Valley Technical Institute, BVTI, the ceremony marked an important milestone. The graduates completed training in advanced manufacturing, electrical, HVAC, plumbing, and welding through BVTI. Designed to prepare adult learners for high-demand careers, BVTI's credential-based programs provide industry-recognized credentials, hands-on training, and the technical knowledge needed to enter or advance in the skilled trades. In 2025, the Healy Driscoll Administration, in partnership with Commonwealth Corporation, awarded the district a $1.04 million Career Technical Initiative, CTI, grant. With support from the grant, BVTI launched adult education programs for learners seeking new skills, certifications, and pathways to career advancement. We are incredibly proud of our inaugural graduating class and our partnership with the Commonwealth through the CTI program to expand access to career and technical education, said BVT's Superintendent Director Anthony E. Steele II. This grant has allowed us to deliver high-quality career and technical education to adults seeking to upskill or retain, provide skilled labor to the local workforce, and generate non-taxpayer revenue that helps support the school. We continually look ahead and plan for the future, said BVT's Assistant Superintendent and Curriculum Director, Dr. Matthew Connors. Working collaboratively with our Director of Workforce and Economic Development, Mary May, BVTI is focused on expanding its catalog of adult education programs and introducing additional offerings this fall. To learn more about BVTI, visit www.valleytech.k12.ma.us/BVTI. August events at Waters Farm. Join Waters Farm, located at 25 Waters Road in Sutton, for Picker's Paradise Flea Market, a relaxed New England-style sale set at an historic farm. This event will take place on August 8th, 9th, 15th, and 16th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We keep our event small and easy to explore, a welcoming starting point for anyone visiting a flea market for the first time. This is a great place for people who enjoy antiques, vintage finds, and other treasures, but prefer a quieter shopping experience. If you would rather part with your treasures than collect more, we gladly welcome tax-deductible donations. Picker's Paradise is also a great opportunity for sellers. Outdoor vendor spaces are available for $10 a day. Bring your own tent and table or sell directly from your vehicle. First-time vendors are welcome. This event will happen rain or shine, barring extreme weather. For vendor inquiries, donations, or to volunteer, please contact Pam Farnham at 508-735-7146 or email pam@watersfarm.org. We have a full slate of free family-friendly and fun activities planned for our next open house on Sunday, August 9th. From 9 to 11 a.m., Waters Farm House Tours. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the Picker's Paradise Flea Market. 9 a.m. signups, 10 a.m. start until done, antique farm tractor pulls. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. blacksmithing with Dan Susie, located at Captain Cornelius Putnam Blacksmith Shop. and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Beekeeping with Harvey Blythe of It's Only Chemistry includes a live hive, weather permitting. Noon and 1 p.m., trail hikes with Phil Johansson of Blackstone Heritage Corridor. Hikes will last 40 to 45 minutes. And finally, we are always open to volunteers of all ages, a great way to earn service hours. Coming up on Saturday, September 12th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., is our annual Apple Crisp Preparation Day. Help Norma make her famous apple crisp by preparing the apples. Lunch and apple crisp samples are provided. Special thanks to First Congregational Church of Sutton, 307 Boston Road in Sutton, for letting us use their kitchen. To learn more about Waters Farm, find us on Facebook and Instagram, or visit our website at watersfarm.org. Community Harvest Project's Pick Your Own Flowers returns. Community Harvest Project, CHP, invites the community to enjoy one of summer's most colorful traditions while helping grow healthier communities. Pick Your Own Flowers is now open at CHP's Grafton Farm, offering visitors the chance to build their own bouquet while supporting local hunger relief. The annual fundraiser features thousands of blooming flowers, including vibrant sunflowers, zinnias, cosmos, marigold, snapdragon, status, and more, for just $1 per stem. Every dollar raised helps Community Harvest Project engage and educate volunteers to grow fruits and vegetables for local hunger relief. Every dollar donated to the organization provides approximately 3 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables for local families. Every bouquet picked helps grow healthier communities across the Commonwealth. Proceeds support CHP's volunteer-powered farming program, where more than 6,400 volunteers grow and harvest fresh produce that is distributed through a network of 27 hunger relief partners across central and eastern Massachusetts. Pick Your Own Flowers is a simple way for people to experience the beauty of our farm while making a meaningful impact, said Tori Borschaper, executive director of Community Harvest Project. Every bouquet purchased helps provide fresh, healthy food for neighbors who are having trouble stretching their dollars. It's a wonderful reminder that even small acts of generosity can bloom into something much bigger for our community. Visitors are encouraged to stroll through the flower row, cut their own bouquet, and enjoy a peaceful visit to the farm. Whether stopping by after work, bringing family and friends, or creating flowers for a special occasion, every stem helps support Community Harvest Project's mission. Event details, Community Harvest Project Pick Your Own Flowers fundraiser. Location, Community Harvest Project, 37 Wheeler Road in North Grafton. Hours are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily. The cost is $1 per stem, cash or Venmo. The season, open now while flowers last. This year's flower garden is located along the driveway exit. Visitors should look for the arch to Carolyn's Garden, where scissors and payment information are available. For more information, visit www.community-harvest.org. Northbridge Senior Center celebrates summer with Elvis-themed party and community spirit. The Northbridge Senior Center welcomed a full house of guests for its annual summer Elvis party, bringing together friends, neighbors, volunteers, and community supporters for an afternoon filled with music, laughter, delicious food, and lasting memories. The event celebrated not only the timeless music of Elvis Presley, but also the vibrant community that makes the Northbridge Senior Center such a special place. Nothing makes us happier than seeing a full dining room of people supporting our programs and activities, said Senior Center Director Kelly Ball. We are incredibly grateful to everyone who joined us for our Elvis summer party and helped make this event such a wonderful success. Events like the Summer Elvis Party reflect the Northbridge Senior Center's ongoing commitment to providing engaging programs that foster friendship, wellness, and community connections for older adults. The Senior Center extends its sincere appreciation to the many organizations and individuals whose generosity made the event possible. Friends of Northbridge Elders, Unibank, and Brenda and Ted Cugini. For more information about programs and upcoming events at the Northbridge Senior Center, please call the center at 508-234-2002.
Hi, this is David Jaffe reading the Webster Times for Friday, July 24th, 2026. Major collaborative milestone marked at QCC Center topping off. Quinsigamond Community College celebrated a major construction milestone with a topping-off ceremony for its new QCC Center, marking the completion of the building's structural frame. State and local leaders, project partners, and members of the college community gathered to witness the raising of the final beam and celebrate the progress of this transformational project. Through careful planning, advocacy, fundraising, design, and construction, the vision is now becoming a reality, said QCC President Dr. Luis Pedraja. Most importantly, this will create opportunities for students to develop the skills they need to succeed in today's workforce and strengthen the connection between education, industry, and our community. The event features a ceremonial beam signing and remarks from Pedraja, State Senator Robin Kennedy, State Representative James O'Day, Worcester Mayor Joseph Petty, Assistant Secretary Robert LaPage of Massachusetts Executive Office of Education, Deputy Commissioner Dr. Richard Riccardi of the Massachusetts Department of Higher Education, Commissioner Adam Backey of the Massachusetts Division of Capital Asset Management and Maintenance, DCAMM, and Craig Skirka, Operations Manager for Gilbane Building Company. The raising of the beam is a moment for us to give gratitude and thank those who have stepped up to make this a reality, Kennedy said. As you join into the growing skyline of Worcester, we continue to grow with you. By signing our names to these beams, we are signing our commitment to make sure the school continues to be successful. The topping-off ceremony commemorated the progress of the $37.4 million renovation and expansion project, which is transforming a 1960s-era athletic facility into a modern, accessible hub for learning, workforce development, and student life. Upon completion, the 57,000-square-foot facility will feature advanced manufacturing and robotics laboratories, hospitality training spaces, flexible classrooms, and revitalized athletic facilities. The project also includes significant upgrades to aging infrastructure and accessibility improvements designed to create a more inclusive and welcoming environment for all students. This project is so important to the mission and vision of Quinsigamond Community College, the region it serves, and the Commonwealth, Riccardi said. We know that holistic student success incorporates curricula and co-curricula initiatives, and this project provides the infrastructure to check both of those boxes. Speakers highlighted the collaborative partnership among the college, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and project stakeholders that have made this investment possible. It is a necessity that we continue to improve our community, college environments, O'Day said. The legislature had made it very clear that not only is higher ed important, but certainly the community college segment is equally as important. It's been an honor to be able to represent the college. While the majority of the renovation is funded by DCAMM, the project reflects the type of transformational campus investment envisioned through the Commonwealth's BRIGHT Act, an act to build resilient infrastructure to generate higher education transformation. The statewide initiative is designed to support modernization of public higher education facilities. I want to thank our legislative partners for championing the BRIGHT Act to date and hopefully getting it across the finish line so we can keep doing impactful projects like this one, Becky said. As someone whose parents both worked at community colleges, I know there are a few things we do that are more important in changing the lives of residents across the Commonwealth than what community colleges do every day. Designed to achieve LEED Gold certification, the facility will support improved energy performance, enhanced indoor air quality, and long-term sustainability goals. Buildings like this bring jobs to your community, great paying opportunities for advancement. We are looking forward to continuing to make these investments. They are about the future of the economy, LaPage said. Skirka recognized the efforts of the construction team and project partners in reaching the milestone safely and efficiently. Today's event celebrates a significant construction milestone and the many people and partnerships helping us bring this project to life, Skirka said. At Gilbane, we are committed to creating healthy, safe, and sustainable spaces that have a lasting effect on the community. We are honored to partner with QCC on this transformative project. The QCC Center is expected to open in the fall of 2027 and will serve as the centerpiece of the college's campus, creating new opportunities for hands-on learning, workforce training, and community engagement. When we look at this structure, we aren't just looking at a steel beam and concrete. We're looking at the literal framework of Worcester's economic future, said Petty. True progress means lifting everyone up. By expanding physical accessibility and producing state-of-the-art energy-efficient systems, QCC is ensuring our green energy and equity goals move forward. Mechanics Hall expands Club 321 to year-round concert series. Mechanics Hall announces the 2026-2027 season of Club 321, expanding its popular live music series to 12 performances spanning July 26th through June 2027. The season opens July 30th and introduces a full new season subscription, giving audiences more opportunities to experience outstanding regional, national, and international artists in an informal club setting. With the launch of Club 321 in 2022, Mechanics Hall created an inviting listening room in the iconic Landmarks Washburn Hall, showcasing exceptional musicians across blues, jazz, soul, folk, Americana, and world music. Now presented one Thursday evening every month, the series has earned a loyal following for its relaxed atmosphere and outstanding live performances. New this season, audiences may purchase a full season subscription, receiving tickets to all 12 performances for the price of 10. Individual tickets are $30, while a season subscription is $300. Mechanics Hall members receive an additional 10% discount on both individual tickets and subscriptions. Club 321 gives audiences the chance to discover incredible musicians in a setting where every seat feels close to the stage, said Christian Carney, Education and Outreach Manager for Mechanics Hall and the curator of the season's series. This season brings together artists representing a wide range of musical traditions, from returning audiences' favorites to performers making their Club 321 debut. Every concert offers something unique while maintaining the high caliber of musicianship audiences have come to expect from Mechanics Hall. Club 321 takes place in Washburn Hall at Mechanics Hall with cabaret tables, theater seating, and standing room, creating a relaxed club atmosphere. Doors open at 6:15 p.m., with performances from 7 to approximately 9 p.m. Events are open to guests ages 18 and older and include a cash bar, a features signature cocktail, and charcuterie prepared by Worcester local Charcuterie by Charisse. Tickets available at mechanicshall.org. The 2026-2027 Club 321 schedule is as follows. July 30th, Robbie Pate, Jazz, Soul, and R&B. August 20th, Carlos Odria and Rio Flow, Latin Jazz and World Music. September 24th, Albano MB, Afropop and Global Music. October 22nd, Greg Piccolo and Heavy Juice, Blues and R&B, presented in partnership with 90.5 WICN's Brian Barlow series. November 12th, Mark Mandeville and Rayon Richards, Folk and Americana. December 10th, Michelle Evil Gal Wilson, Blues and Soul. Artists for the following dates will be announced. January 21st, February 18th, March 11th, April 8th, May 13th, and June 10th. About Mechanics Hall. Steeped in the rich history of 19th century Worcester, Mechanics Hall is internationally regarded as one of the world's great concert halls. Regionally, it is a gathering place celebrated for its architecture, acoustics, and vibrant cultural programming. In addition to serving as a premier performance venue and recording venue, Mechanics Hall offers inspiring cultural experiences through concerts, educational initiatives, community events, and a youth chorus and collaborative partnerships. Mechanics Hall is a nonprofit organization owned and operated by the Worcester County Mechanics Association, established in 1842. It is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Learn more at mechanicshall.org. Girl Scout troops welcome new members. Girls entering grades K and 1 in the fall are invited to join Troop 65600, which meets in Auburn every other Tuesday, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., and Troop 655999, which meets every other Thursday in Dudley from 6 to 7:15 p.m. Girl membership registration fee is $111 and is active until September 30th, 2027. Financial assistance is available. Girl Scouts is the premier organization for girls to learn about leadership, financial literacy, life skills, the outdoors, community service, science, and technology. Girl Scout programming is customized for all types of learners. Previous Girl Scout experience is not necessary. You can register for a spot in the troop at https://go.gscwm.org/troop65600. Any questions? Email info@gscwm.org or call 508-365-0115. About the Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts. Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts serves nearly 6,000 girls in grades K through 12 with the strong support of over 2,500 adult volunteers in 186 towns and cities in Central and Western Massachusetts. The Girl Scout program allows girls to discover the fun, friendship, and power of girls together while building their personal leadership qualities. Explore history and legends through song at Gladys E. Kelly Library. On Thursday, August 6th, the musical duo Sultana will bring history and legends through song to Gladys Kelly Public Library at 2 Lake Street in Webster at 6:30 p.m. The program consists of songs, history, and slides about fascinating historical or legendary people and events. The show will include songs about New England history, ancient Mesopotamia, a character from Arthurian legend, a renowned radio broadcast, and more. History and Legends Through Song is part of the series Live Music Making History Live. The other shows in the series are The Roots of American Popular Music, The Railroad in Song, and Popular Music and Veterans. The duo Sultana is John and Lee Waterman, both lifelong musicians and songwriters. John is also a licensed history teacher in Massachusetts. He created Live Music Making History Live in 2018 with the belief that history and entertainment go together. Throughout the ages, songs, stories, and theater have included history, and history is, or should be, entertaining. The program is supported in part by a grant from the Webster Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Mass Cultural Council, a state agency. Admission is free, and the event is open to the public. Dudley Recreation Commission receives a $2,400 grant. The Town of Dudley Recreation Commission is excited to announce that it has received a $2,400 grant from the Janet Malzer Humanities Trust. This generous funding will support the Recreation Commission's efforts to bring more live musical performances to community events. We had a live musician at our 2025 Spooktacular that made the event more fun and cohesive, Recreation Commission Chair Alicia Figueredo said. We're excited to partner with the Janet Malzer Humanities Trust to bring more live music to our community events in 26 and 27. The Recreation Commission welcomes local musicians, bands, and performers who are interested in participating in future community events to reach out and share their information by email to recreation@dudleyma.gov. We look forward to using this grant to funding to continue enhancing our local events for the families of Dudley. Outdoor Summer Concert returns August 21st in downtown Worcester with Jazz Plus Live featuring the Love Dogs. WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM, the Hanover Theater and Conservatory for the Performing Arts, and the Downtown Worcester Business Improvement District invite the community to celebrate summer at the 9th Annual Jazz Plus Live Concert, featuring the acclaimed Jump Blues and Rhythm and Blues band the Love Dogs. The outdoor concert will take place on Friday, August 21st, behind the Hanover Theater in downtown Worcester. Gates open at 5 p.m., with the concert beginning at 6 p.m. For more than two decades, the Love Dogs, fronted by the charismatic Eddie Shear, have entertained audiences across the United States, Canada, and Europe with their irresistible blend of jump blues, New Orleans R&B, swing, and early rock and roll. Their powerhouse horn section, boogie-woogie piano, soulful vocals, and infectious stage presence have made them one of New England's premier live bands and a favorite among music lovers of all ages. Jazz Plus Live has become one of Worcester's signature summer traditions because it brings together outstanding live music, strong community partnerships, and people who simply enjoy spending an evening together, said Melanie LeBeuf, executive director of WICN Public More Radio. At WICN, we believe music has the power to connect people. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs, along with food and non-alcoholic beverages, to enjoy during the performance. Food trucks and cash bars will be available throughout the evening. Outside alcohol is not permitted. General admission tickets are $30 in advance and $35 on the day of the event. Guests should bring their own lawn chairs. VIP front row tables for four are available for $175 per table, offering reserved seating with the best views of the stage. Tickets are available through the Hanover Theater box office and online at thehanovertheater.org. About WICN Public Radio. WICN Public Radio 90.5 FM is an independent, nonprofit public radio station serving central Massachusetts and beyond. Through award-winning jazz, roots, blues, world music, and locally produced programming, WICN connects listeners with the arts, culture, education, and conversations that enrich the region. WICN's mission is to inspire, entertain, and engage diverse audiences while supporting the cultural vitality of the communities it serves. Broadcasting throughout central New England and streaming worldwide, WICN brings exceptional music and local voices to audiences wherever they are.
And now, Lanterns Along Main Street by Charles. The Last Payphone. Every once in a while, something disappears so quietly that you don't realize it is gone until you go looking for it. That happened to me a few weeks ago. I wasn't actually planning to make a phone call. I simply drove past an old convenience store where I distinctly remembered a payphone standing outside for decades. It had been tucked beneath a little metal hood facing the parking lot. It wasn't attractive. It wasn't historic. It wasn't something anyone photographed. It was simply there. Except it wasn't. The concrete pad remained, along with four rusty bolts sticking out of the ground like tiny gravestones. If you didn't know what had once occupied the spot, you'd never give it a second glance. For anyone under about 30 years old, the idea of needing a payphone probably sounds ridiculous. We all carry computers in our pockets now. If we're lost, we have GPS. If we need help, we can text. If we're running late, we can call before anyone has time to wonder where we are. But there was a time when finding a payphone could feel like finding water in the desert. You always needed a quarter. If you didn't have one, you started checking cup holders, coat pockets, or the bottom of your glove compartment. Sometimes you'd ask a stranger, "Do you have change for a dollar?" Nobody thought that was odd. There was an unspoken etiquette, too. You kept your conversation short if someone else was waiting. If the weather was bad, you'd hunch beneath the little metal cover while rain dripped off the edges. In winter, the handset always seemed about 20 degrees colder than the air around it. The payphone was also a witness to life. Teenagers nervously calling home after missing curfew, parents letting family know they had arrived safely, drivers reporting breakdowns before roadside assistance came with smartphone apps, young couples talking longer than they could afford because hanging up first somehow felt impossible. Looking back, it's amazing how much trust we placed in those phones. They sat outside through blizzards, thunderstorms, and heat waves. Thousands of hands touched them. Somehow, they almost always worked. Today's technology is unquestionably better. I wouldn't trade my cell phone for a pocket full of quarters, but convenience has changed something else. Because every call is private now. You never overhear someone happily announcing they got the job. You don't hear somebody telling their spouse they'll be home in 20 minutes. You don't watch a nervous teenager practicing what they're about to say before dropping a coin into the slot. Life still happens, of course. We just experience it behind screens instead of out in the open. Small-town Massachusetts has always been full of ordinary landmarks that quietly stitched communities together. A hardware store with creaky floors, the diner where everyone knew the waitress's name, the corner barbershop, the bulletin board covered with handwritten notices. The payphone belonged on that list. It wasn't important because of what it was. It mattered because everyone, sooner or later, needed it. Maybe that's why seeing those four empty bolts caught my attention. They reminded me that progress rarely arrives with a parade. More often it comes one unnoticed change at a time until the world you've always known has become somebody else's history. Someday, a child will ask what those rusty bolts are for. Someone my age will smile. "They used to hold a payphone," we'll say. The child will probably look puzzled, and for a brief moment, we'll realize we're telling a story that has quietly become history. News from the Douglas Adult Social Center. August Wellness Clinic dates: Monday, August 10th, and Tuesday, August 25th. The clinic is open from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Hearing aid cleanings is Thursday, August 13th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Darcy will be here to assist you. Please call the center to schedule your appointment, 508-476-2283. Thursday, August 6th at 12, Zentangle class. This is a beginner course. The class is free of charge. The tile is $7. When signing up for the class, we ask that you come to pay for your tile. Refreshments will be served. Please sign up by August 3rd. And Friday, August 7th from 11 to 3, Sunshine Club is hosting their senior picnic at Wallam Lake. Lunch, beverages, and watermelon will be supplied for you. Bring a chair and sunscreen. We will have the pavilion with picnic tables to sit at. Come enjoy some outdoors with friends, play games, maybe go for a swim. We will be meeting at the center and carpooling to the park. If you need transportation to the lake, please mention that when you sign up. They have allowed us to enter through the boat ramp to avoid the walk down from the upper parking lot. If you arrive yourself, there is a chance you may have to park in the upper parking lot and pay for parking. Please sign up by August 1st. Please call 508-476-2283 to sign up for all programs and classes at the Douglas Adult Social Center. You can check out our websites for other events at www.douglas-ma.gov/202/adult-social-center-senior-center. News from Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. The following events will take place at Plummer Place, located at 20 Highland Street in Whitensville. Our telephone number is 508-234-2002. Northbridge residents have priority for all programming and events. Please call the main office to sign up for special events and programs so we can plan accordingly. Medical drivers. We are in need of medical drivers for out-of-town medical appointments. This is a very important service that we provide for seniors who cannot drive themselves to their medical appointments. If you are interested and can spare any time or know someone who might be able to help us, it would be most appreciated. Drivers are reimbursed for their mileage. For more information, please call the main office at 508-234-2002. Every Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. at Plummer Place is Meditation with Kelly. The third Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. is the book club. You can call Kelly for more information about the book. The Brew Crew, there's no meetings in July and August, nor are there any meetings in July and August for the Dull Men's Club. We're all taking the summer off. The Women's Collective has no meeting in August, but the second Thursday of the month, the second and fourth Thursdays at 2 p.m., is Writing Your Way. For more information on all these events, please call 508-234-2002. A cultural and historical reflection of the 1960s through the music of the Beatles is Tuesday, August 4th from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., This performance combines live music with a multimedia presentation to explore not only the music of the Beatles, but the influence they exerted in every area of the cultural landscape. Presented by Fran Hart, founding member of the Beatles tribute band Forever Fab, This program is supported in part by a grant from the Northbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. Active Agers Health Fair is Thursday, August 6th from 12:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Some of our vendors and organizations, the Alzheimer's Association, Azza Law Firm, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Blackstone Valley Physical Therapy Services, Hear Joy Audiology, Whiten Community Center, Salmon Home Care, Open Sky, Northbridge Fire Department, Northbridge Police Department, and Serific Springs Healthcare. Free blood pressure screenings will be available, and free door prizes are also happening. Free frozen treats courtesy of the Friends of the Northbridge Elders. Come and find out everything you need to support your health and well-being. $5 fee to attend, payable in cash on the day of the event. Please sign up in the main office to attend or by calling 508-234-2002 so we can plan accordingly. Aging Gracefully, a fall prevention workshop, will be Thursday, August 20th from 1 to 2 p.m. at Plummer Place. Please join UMass Prevention Specialist Dominic Dunbar to learn how to prevent and recover from fall injuries, as well as the importance of diet and exercise as preventive measures. Light refreshments will be served. Please sign up in the main office. History comes alive at Asa Waters Mansion. In celebration of Asa Waters Mansion 200th anniversary and in conjunction with the 250th anniversary of the United States, the mansion is proud to announce History Comes Alive at the Asa Waters Mansion. History Comes Alive is a three-day Civil War living history experience taking place on the historic grounds located at 123 Elm Street in Millbury from Friday, August 7th through Sunday, August 9th, presented in collaboration with the 15th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry Reenactment Regiment and the Liberty Grays. This immersive weekend event will transport visitors back in time through engaging historical interpretation, live demonstrations, educational programming, and authentic encampments designed for all ages. Throughout the weekend, guests will experience narrated battle demonstrations, military drill and weapons demonstrations, civilian and domestic life programming, educational lectures, candlelight mansion tours, live period music, sutlers, Sunday church call, and additional interactive experiences that showcase the Civil War era America from multiple perspectives. This event is intended to create an engaging and educational environment where history can be explored in a meaningful, approachable, and community-centered way. Organizers hope visitors will gain a deeper appreciation for the region's Civil War heritage while experiencing the sights, sounds, and stories of the era firsthand. This event is about bringing history to life in a way that is immersive, thoughtful, and accessible for everyone, said Asa Waters Mansion Executive Director Tracy Parath. Whether you are a history enthusiast, a family looking for a unique weekend experience, or someone interested in learning more about the stories behind the Civil War, there will be something meaningful for everyone. Many events throughout the weekend are expected to be free and open to the public, with additional admission and scheduling details to be announced as planning is finalized. Asa Waters Mansion remains one of the Blackstone Valley's treasured historic landmarks, and History Comes Alive aims to connect the community with the rich and complex history that helped shape both our region, Massachusetts, and the nation. For more information, please contact Asa Waters Mansion Executive Director Tracy Parath at 508-865-0855 or email Tracy at tparath, P-A-R-A-T-H, at millbury-ma.gov. News from the Uxbridge Senior Center. On Friday, July 31st at noon, we'll have our July birthday cake celebration. We will celebrate all the July birthdays. Heather Deary will be back to entertain us during lunch. The Uxbridge Senior Center is located at 36 South Main Street in Uxbridge, and our telephone number is 508 508- 1-800-278-8622. Walk and Talk is every Monday at 9 a.m. Join Doreen Cedrone, our wellness coordinator, to walk the town loop every Monday morning, weather permitting. Pre-registration is required. Get your enrollment forms at the center. We meet at the McCloskey School. Hannaford Grocery Shopping is every Tuesday. Pickup begins at 8:30 a.m. Please sign up in advance by calling 508-278-8622 to reserve your seat on the van. Every Wednesday at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Uxbridge Senior Center Transportation Program offers a community shuttle. The shuttle is for seniors and individuals with disabilities to destinations such as post office, pet care appointments, hair salon or barber, bank, pharmacy, and shopping anywhere in the Northbridge-Uxbridge area. Call 508-278-8622 for more information and to book your free ride. Requests require a 48-hour notice. Medical transportation is accepting appointments as well. Call 508-278-8622 to schedule your medical transportation rides.
Calling all creative types to Webster's Bites, Books, and Blooms. It's not too late to exercise your creative muscles and join other floral artists, professional and amateur alike, in creating a display for Bites, Books, and Blooms. This annual highlight of the Webster social calendar will take place at the Gladys Kelly Library on September 23rd. In past years, we have seen these representations through flowers of a favorite book or poem can range from literal to abstract and serious to silly. All have been intriguing and thought-provoking and demonstrate the talent for the visual arts that exists in our community. For example, in 2024, Forget-Me-Nots Flowers and Gifts in Dudley chose to interpret Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone with a gorgeous burgundy sorting hat, a literal object from the book, alongside a pumpkin arrangement, a more abstract nod to the festive spirit of Hogwarts Great Hall at Halloween. This year, Deb Horan, owner of Book Lovers Gourmet, has chosen a poem, The Red Wheelbarrow, by William Carlos Williams. She says, "I was inspired by this simple, descriptive poem of everyday objects and setting that asks us to just stop and observe our surroundings. We can't wait to see how she will transform and translate this into a visual form through flowers." If you're inspired to submit your own book in bloom, please fill out the commitment form on the Friends of the Gladys Kelly Library website by August 3rd, or get a form at the library at 2 Lake Street in Webster. Still unsure? Come to a Books in Bloom workshop on August 12th, where Elaine Davies will lead a planning session teaching you the mechanics of putting together a floral interpretation. Register for a workshop at the library or online under the library's events calendar, August 12th, 6 p.m., How to Create a Book in Bloom. Whether you will be a featured artist or not, don't miss this evening of food, music, and fun on September 23rd, benefiting the library's free programming for all. Tickets will go on sale beginning August 22nd. Auburn resident sets out to raise awareness for frontotemporal degeneration. The Jim Tobin Memorial is inviting the community to support two upcoming events dedicated to raising awareness of frontotemporal degeneration, FTD, advancing research and advocating for families affected by the disease. The third annual Jim Tobin Memorial Golf Tournament will be held on Saturday, September 26th at Holden Hills Country Club. Registration is now open for foursomes at $500 per team, and individuals who do not golf are welcome to attend the Italian Buffet lunch for $40 with advanced registration. The event will also feature raffles, contests, and sponsorship opportunities. Net proceeds will benefit the Frontotemporal Disorders Research Center at UMass Chan Medical School and the Association for Frontotemporal Degeneration, AFTD. On Sunday, September 6th, Auburn resident and David Prouty High School graduate Devin Tobin will take on the From Lab to Legislative Walk, a 40-mile one-man journey from UMass Chan Medical School in Worcester to the Massachusetts State House in Boston. Wearing a 40-pound weighted vest to symbolize the weight FTD places on families, he hopes to increase public awareness, supporting research, and encouraging legislative action for those living with frontotemporal degeneration. Both events honor the memory of Jim Tobin, a longtime Spencer resident, Air Force veteran, husband, father, and grandfather, who lived with FTD. Many members of the Tobin family, including Jim's wife, continue to call Spencer home and hope the community will join them in honoring Jim's legacy and supporting efforts to improve the lives of families affected by FTD. For golf registration, sponsorship information, or to learn more about the Awareness Walk, contact jimtobinmemorial@gmail.com or visit the Jim Tobin Memorial social media page. Ali Mae Cote-Dorgan to headline Keys for Kitties event. Community Cat Connection will present Keys for Kitties, featuring Ali Mae Cote-Dorgan, she, her, hers, an accomplished composer and multi-instrumentalist, and an exclusive piano performance. The performance will be held at Webster Federated Church of Christ, Fort Church Street, 4 p.m. on Saturday, August 8th. The public is invited to join for an afternoon of music for all tastes and times. Attendees can enjoy neoclassical music compilations featuring renditions of Green Day, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Metallica in a whole new way. The concert will feature two 45-minute sets with a brief intermission, and light refreshments will be available. Audio or video recording and flash photography are not allowed during the performance. All proceeds support Community Cat Connection, a no-kill nonprofit shelter. Tickets are $10 each and can be purchased at the door the evening of the event or at Community Cat Connection, 289 Thompson Road in Webster, during open hours. The shelter is open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 4 to 7 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can call 508-949-0779 for more information. Cote-Dorgan has been playing the piano for 40 years, composing for 32 years, and accompanying for 33 years. She has studied classical piano since her grandmother, Joanne Milburn May, recognized her talent at age 4. Cote-Dorgan attended Worcester State University on the Frédéric François Chopin Scholarship and has also studied and performed at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, and Thayer Music Conservatory in Lancaster. She has appeared as a solo pianist, accompanist, composer, and arranger around the Worcester area, and has also composed and arranged neoclassical, New Age solo piano music for special events. Ali has played drums in several bands and is a member of three semi-professional choruses, the Master Singers of Worcester, co-founded by her grandmother in the 1970s, the Worcester Chorus, and the Sounds of Stowe. She currently teaches piano at Guitar Center in Millbury. Her website is alicote.wordpress.com. Editorial. The Stories We Grow Together. Libraries have always been places where imagination takes root. Long before digital screens became part of daily life, they invited people to discover unfamiliar worlds, explore new ideas, and connect with neighbors through a shared love of reading. One of the most enjoyable reminders of that mission is an event that asks participants to take those stories off the page and bring them to life in an entirely different way. The Gladys Kelly Library's annual Bites, Books, and Blooms celebration does something remarkable. It combines literature, art, music, and community into an evening that appeals to readers and non-readers alike. It reminds everyone that creativity does not belong to professionals alone. It belongs to anyone willing to try something new. That is perhaps the greatest strength of the Books in Bloom tradition. Participants are challenged to create floral interpretations inspired by books or poems. There are no rigid rules. Some arrangements faithfully recreate memorable scenes or recognizable objects. Others capture the mood, symbolism, or emotion of a favorite story in ways that encourage viewers to stop, think, and perhaps even revisit a classic they have not read in years. The beauty of the exhibit lies in its diversity. One display may make visitors smile with a clever visual joke. Another may quietly inspire reflection. Together, they become a gallery that celebrates not only literature, but also the unique perspectives of the people who call Webster and the surrounding communities home. That community spirit deserves recognition. Events like this succeed because local businesses, volunteers, artists, and residents choose to participate. A florist contributes professional expertise, a bookstore owner offers literary inspiration. Amateur designers discover talents they never knew they possessed. Visitors purchase tickets, admire the displays, and in doing so help support free library programming that serves children, families, and seniors throughout the year. It is easy to think of creativity as something reserved for painters, sculptors, or musicians. Books in Bloom challenges that assumption. It encourages people who may never have entered an art competition to experiment with flowers, color, texture, and symbolism. The result is an exhibit that is welcoming rather than intimidating. Perhaps even more importantly, it creates conversations. Someone who has never read The Red Wheelbarrow may find themselves looking up William Carlos Williams after seeing A Floral Interpretation. A child may ask why a particular arrangement represents a favorite novel. Friends may capture or compare their own reading lists while walking from display to display. Those moments are exactly what libraries hope to inspire, curiosity leading to discovery. The planning workshop being offered before the event is another reminder that participation matters more than perfection. Not everyone begins with experience arranging flowers, but everyone begins with imagination. Providing guidance lowers the barrier to entry and opens the door for more community members to share their ideas. In an age when so much entertainment is consumed alone, there is something refreshing about gathering around books in a way that is interactive, colorful, and distinctly local. These are the kinds of traditions that give a town its character. They create memories, strengthen friendships, and remind residents that culture does not only happen in large cities or famous museums, it thrives wherever people are willing to create together. As September approaches, there's still time for someone to decide that this is the year they will take part. Whether inspired by a childhood favorite, a classic novel, or a beloved poem, each new display adds another voice to the conversation. The finished arrangements may last only a short time, but the inspirations they spark can endure much longer. That is the quiet music magic of libraries. They do not simply preserve stories, they encourage every generation to tell new ones in whatever form their imagination allows. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm David Jaffe, along with Jennifer Ann Kowiak. Thank you for listening.
Listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note. At midday, it might seem like the birds that were so active in the morning have gone silent, maybe even vanished. But there are some birds that, much like people, rally in the afternoon, offering a second chance to see and hear them. Cormorants are sleek water birds that dive for fish. There are cormorant species found all over the world. The double-crested cormorant is the most common in North America. During the summer breeding season, this species has two peak times for hunting, the first around 9 a.m. and the second around 3 p.m., so if you're out in the afternoon, you might find a cormorant hard at work diving for fish. Cormorants don't spend most of their time looking for food, though. They catch their prey efficiently, letting them spend most of their day loafing around, drying their feathers in the sun, and croaking at their neighbors. Sounds like an ideal day for many human anglers, too. reel in a few fish, then kick back and relax. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. Bird Note is grateful to former board member and photographer extraordinaire Owen Deutsch and his wife Rona Talcott for their strong support over the years.